405 versus CM Corporation. We're ready to proceed when we do our sale.
Good morning.
I don't know if you know that, sorry to interrupt, but we don't have very many cases that revolve around means plus function claims, and by coincidence, you all and the case that follows you both involve means plus function, so that's just an odd coincidence for the panel today.
Okay.
We actually refer to it as fun in my case.
We're hoping, though, that these are structural claims, not means plus function. So we hope it's not a means plus function case. The principal error of the district court, we feel, is that it did not examine the claims with the knowledge of a skilled artisan. The court...
Let me ask you sort of a housekeeping question. You should clear up for me. On page 15 of the red brief, Sienna says you make three new arguments on appeal. First, the preferred embodiment describes a magnetic drive and a push-pull arrangement as part of the control. Second, the control includes both push-pull magnets and a microprocessor and other associated circuitry. And third, the specification sufficiently discloses the control to be structural because it refers to a drive mechanism. Are those new or are they in the record below?
They're in the record below.
Okay.
They're in the report of the expert, Dr. Smith, and it's within appendix.
If you could give me a site that it would be helpful.
Sure. Appendix 2108 to 23, 2146 to 51, and 2151.
I'm sorry. 2108, and then?
To 2123. 2146 to 2151 and 2154 to 2168. Dr. Smith's report was incorporated by reference into the initial claim construction brief, which we filed in the district.
That's a lot of pages. 2108 to
2123.
Okay. Is there any, can you be a little more specific?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. With respect, it really helps
to control, it is 2154 to 2157, 4591 to 4593, and 2118 to 2121. That cuts it down. But Dr. Smith's report is very informative, and that's why I gave the court all the sites. It's probably about... We have excerpts of probably about 20 pages total, 25 pages total of his report.
Can I just ask you a housekeeping, and I'd like to ask the other side as well. If hypothetically we were to affirm the district court that the control terms are means plus function and are indefinite, does that mean all the claims would be invalid and that would end this case?
Yes. As a result of the district court not applying the knowledge of a skilled artisan, the district court's constructions were overly narrow, resulting in invalidation of the 917 patent and a concession on the part of Fiber of no infringement. It's true that the specification only talks about men's mirrors, but there was other technology that was known to skilled artisans at that time. For example, liquid crystal and silicon devices. They perform the same function as a men's device. Those devices were already in existence. Skilled artisans knew how to make them. They knew how to control them. They knew that MEMS mirrors were controlled by microprocessors, control circuitry, and push-pull magnets or servo motors. They also knew that LCOS devices could be controlled by applying a voltage to the liquid crystal layer within the reflective device. The invention of this patent was not MEMS mirrors, it was not LCOS devices, it was not microprocessors, it was not control circuitry, push-pull magnets, or anything else. The invention of the 917 patent was using closed-loop feedback, constant feedback on an all-optical reflective beam-directing device so that the optical beam would maintain its current alignment. And that was an important invention because the patentees recognized that the optical signals had a tendency to drift due to vibrations, temperature variations, and just simply the wearing of the devices themselves. The closed-loop feedback kept the optical beams aligned properly so that the signals could be optimized during the switching phase.
But each of the asserted claims of 917 has functions, right? Aligning a mirror or positioning a beam-directing device. And isn't that true? Doesn't that require a corresponding structure?
Yes, and there is corresponding structure in the 917 and the 348 patent, which was incorporated by reference in two places during the 917 patent.
So does that make it a means plus function?
Pardon me?
You said yes, so does that make it a means plus function?
No, because there's enough structure within the disclosures of the 917 patent and the 348 patent.
Where in the 917 is there structure?
In column 1, lines 47 to 54, briefly in accordance of the invention, an improved optical light transmission switch employs a microelectromechanical movable mirror assembly with associated electromagnet coils mounted in a package and preferably including control LEDs with both drive and LED signals being supplied through a wiring harness. Column 3.
What is the structure for control?
Structure for control is the...
It's not the...
Magnet coils, the electromagnet coils mounted in the package, and preferably including control LEDs with both drive and LED signals being supplied through a wiring harness, the circuitry. There's an incorporation by reference in column 5 to the 348 patent. And the 348 patent talks about a microprocessor.
I'm not interested in the 348 patent. I don't think you can import that structure into this claim. Is this summary of the invention here you're talking about the only thing in the 917 patent that describes control?
In column 8, lines 40 to 45, for example, magnet and air coil locations other than those described above can be employed as long as appropriate currents can be applied by means of control 100 to the air coils to move the gimbaled mirror to a desired orientation.
So the magnet and the air coil locations and all that stuff are not the control.
It is part of the control. It's what moves and actuates the mirror itself.
But then it separately describes the control. By means of control and control 100.
Yes.
And what is control 100?
Control is the microprocessor that receives the signals from the data gathering and transmission element.
Where in the specification does it show that? Is control 100, is that somewhere in one of these drawings?
It is. The microprocessor and the control circuitry.
Where does the specification...
It's in figure 7A.
define control as the microprocessor?
It's the box. But a person of ordinary skill in the art would know that the control encompasses a microprocessor.
It's a box.
Pardon me?
It's a box. It doesn't even say it's a microprocessor. Is there anything in the specification that says control 100 is a microprocessor?
Column 7, line 54 says the control system can be similar to that described in the 348 patent. And the 348 patent discusses microprocessors,
okay,
servo control.
Well, we're circling back to this incorporation by reference. Now, in Red Brief, page 26, they cite a case called Default Proof versus Home Depot, which states that material incorporated by reference cannot provide the corresponding structure necessary to satisfy the definiteness requirement for a means plus function clause. And I didn't see any response in Gray to that position or what that case stands for.
In the Callaway decision, this court said that subject matter can be incorporated by reference. A person of ordinary skill in the art would know to look for the control mechanism in the 348 patent and find it. So having it specifically outlined is not necessary. The fact that they identified subject matter of the 348 patent that deals with the control is sufficient under Callaway.
You're into your rebuttal. Why don't we hear from the other side and save the remaining time?
Say that again?
You're into your rebuttal time, okay. So why don't you sit down and we'll hear the other side and we'll reserve the time.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court.
Let me just ask you the same question I started with your friend, which is if we affirm the district court that the control means is means plus function and indefinite, all of the claims go away here as invalid, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. And the same applies to the data gathering and transmission element. If you affirm that that is means plus function, that also resolves all asserted claims in the case.
The red brief, footnote 4, you say to the extent the district court's analysis for this rather term contains some technical error, such error was harmless. Where's that technical error? Why is that there? Is there something you believe the district court got wrong or lacked an understanding?
No, Your Honor. In their opening brief, they cite the zero-click case, and they contend that the district court did not apply a full-scale analysis.
Okay.
So we disagree that that's the case. We think the district court applied a proper analysis, but in any event, it's harmless based on the record we have.
Yeah.
And I want to follow up on both means plus function claims, which was touched upon a little bit in my friend's argument, and that is, it's important to note at the outset that the focus of the first part of the means plus function inquiry is whether or not the claim term itself connotes sufficient structure to take it out of the ambit of 112.6. Now, at best, what appellant is trying to do is point to some collection of parts that it can find that it contends performs the recited function, or in some cases, even a different function. But they point to no evidence that the term control or that the term data gathering and transmission element were ever used or described in a way that imparts structure to those terms. And we think the evidence is overwhelming that these terms do not connote sufficiently definite structure and then therefore means plus function. So starting with the control
what
term.
What they describe, I think for control at least, they're relying on box 100. Which isn't really further explained, but what if they said box 100 can be accomplished by a microprocessor or a circuit?
Well, interestingly, if you look at their reply with the gray brief at page 6, there's no dispute. They don't dispute that the specification nowhere.
No, I understand that. I'm asking you a hypothetical. If they define box 100 can be performed either by a microprocessor or a physical circuit, would that be sufficient structure for control?
No, it wouldn't, Your Honor, and I'll tell you why. There are these lines of cases out there that talk about circuit, and on appeal, they're trying to bring those cases in and say, well, ignore the term control, and ignore this court's precedent, such as in Toro, Williamson, and recently this court's decision in MTD v. Iancu that came after the briefing was submitted in this case, and that's at 933 F3rd 1336. Forget the cases that actually look at the term control and look at these circuit cases, but those circuit cases are distinguishable for at least three reasons. One, in those cases talking about a circuit, there's a known definition for what a circuit is. But in those cases, what this court has said is that, yes, it will start with the recognition that it's a known structure, but that's not good enough. You have to go beyond that and describe its operation sufficiently that we know how it's accomplishing that function. And what we have here is no description of how that's performed operationally in a way that would impart structure to the term. And those cases also apply a strong presumption, they were pre-Williamson strong presumption against means plus function. So we have none of those things here. If they had said there's a microprocessor in the box, you would have to look to see, okay, well, does it give you any more indication that there's some structure here?
I'm not saying a microprocessor isn't a structure, are you?
A microprocessor is a structure. All means plus function claims have some sort of structure. But the way the specification is here, even if there was a microprocessor.
I don't feel like you're really answering my question. Let's look at the claim, and where it says a control operative, we replace control with the word microprocessor. And then it tells you what the microprocessor is going to do. And it's going to do, I guess, three different kinds of positioning using the prior mirrors or whatever that are described beyond the client. Why isn't that microprocessor, along with what is this probably very simple algorithm of what it's going to do, sufficient structure in that replacing control with microprocessor?
Your Honor, we would still be in the world of purely functional claiming. Just because they say that there's a microprocessor, it's still acting as a placeholder, a recitation for performing the recited function. There's no, you could then apply any processor that can perform the function. It would be able to capture that, and that would encompass. There's little bounds to what that would be. So,
what do you mean there's little bounds? It has to be a microprocessor. It can't be a physical circuit.
Right. I mean, it would bring in, you could say, anything with a microprocessor, computers, anything that could have a microprocessor, you could all of a sudden say, well, that could fall within the claim.
Then you rewrite this claim using a microprocessor that would be sufficient. It sounds to me like you're saying whenever it's a computer-implemented function, it's always going to be 112F. And that isn't consistent with our case law, is it?
Well, here, it could, in some situations, if you have a computer, that might be sufficient. Like in the Inventio case, you had a computer, but it talked about the internal components. It talked about what those structures actually were, and it talked about how that operation occurred. So it's not enough just to have a bare microprocessor in the context of this claim, because it's just being recited functionally. So we would submit that wouldn't be sufficient, but in any event, we don't have that here. All we're left with is a term
control.
I'm still
confused. If you cite a microprocessor, what more you have to do to say a microprocessor is going to do these kind of functions? Isn't that how you write computer-implemented claims? As you say, there's a computer that's going to perform steps 1, 2, 3, and 4.
It could be the case, Your Honor, that if it was a microprocessor and looking at the specification, it connoted sufficiently definite structure in this case. I think you could argue it both ways.
I mean, a microprocessor is a physical object.
Right.
It is not a kind of nonce word like controller or stuff like that. That can be any number of physical items. I don't really understand why your argument that they then have to recite the different parts of the microprocessor that are going to do the specific instructions? I mean, is it really that detailed of a requirement to get it out of 112F?
I don't think it's black and white, Your Honor.
It sounds to me like you're trying to say that we should extend 112F to any time they use the word microprocessor.
I'm not suggesting that, Your Honor. I'm suggesting that because they just use the term control, which under this court's precedent, Toro...
I understand that. I mean, we've been talking for at least the last 5 minutes about a hypothetical that I posed to you that you don't seem to be answering about whether microprocessor is actual structure that would take it out of 112F.
And I think it would certainly be a closer case there. And you could have very solid arguments about why you have structure there. The term itself has structure. All I'm saying is we don't have that here, so it's hard to come to a definitive answer on that hypothetical. But I concede that it could be the case that that wouldn't be means plus function in that case.
I suppose your argument would be closer to the machine learning black box cases where the patentee doesn't actually know what goes on in that black box because the machine is teaching itself as it goes along.
Yeah, I mean, we literally here just have a box. That's all we have. We don't have anything telling us what that structure is. So when you're trying to decide whether or not control connotes sufficiently definite structure, you don't have any structural definition or any impartition of structure there. So we think this clearly falls in line with cases like Toro, like Williamson, like MTD, all looked at claim terms that had the term control in it and determined that those are means plus function.
What if we are hypothetically in an area of art, and again, this is hypothetical, so listen, where control is known by skilled artisans as is indicating two different ways of doing things. There's only two ways to do it, and they're both physical structures, and they want to capture both by using that word. Is that, in that instance, is control sufficient to get you out of 112F?
If there was evidence that connoted sufficiently definite structure, which I think you're suggesting, Judge Hughes, then that could be the case, that it would be out of the... Because what you would have there was something where, yes, this is sufficiently known, everyone knows what this is, so therefore it's not means plus function. We just don't have that here.
So what if in this case everybody would know when you use the word control to move these mirrors around, there are only two ways to do it. Either you do it with a physical circuit or you do it with a microprocessor. I'm not saying that I agree with that contention, but if that were the case, that control in the context of this field only meant either a physical circuit or a microprocessor, and maybe I'm being stupid and those are actually the same things and collapse on each other in some sense, I don't know, I'm an English major. But if there's only two possible ways to define control, and they're both physical structures, does that make control no longer a 112F term?
It's possible, but again, you have to look at, when you're saying there's these two things that can do it.
Well, in the record, you have an affidavit of an expert, which is unchallenged. And the affidavit says, you only have control A and control B. And control A is done with a physical structure, and control B is done with something else. And nobody challenges that those are the underlying facts. I think that's really Judge Hughes' hypothetical to you at that point when it says the control is control A, or it says control B, or it says all available controls, which is only A or N. So it's a limited universe at that point.
Yeah, yes, Your Honor. If you looked at that and that was telling you there's this class of structures that everybody knows is what control is connoting, then yes, that would be the case. Except if when you look at what those two ways are, if those two ways themselves are just functional, are just placeholders, then you could say, perhaps not, because you still have functional claiming at that point. You're still not cabining the universe of what might fold in. And that's what 112.6 is designed to prevent, that unlimited functional claiming. I'd just like to turn really quick with the time I have left, Your Honors, to data gathering and transmission element. We think here the analysis is very straightforward. You have a term, data gathering and transmission element, that contains a nonce word element that this court has repeatedly recognized to be a nonce word, when you look at the rest of the claim, you have data gathering and transmission. That modifier is purely functional. So nothing about that is imparting structure to the claim term. And so you then looked at the specification and say, maybe the specification can tell me what this term means or connote structure. You won't find that term in the specification at all. It's just not there. No part of that term is there. So what their appellant is trying to do is point to various things in the specification that might perform that function. This is clearly addressed by the MTD case, where this court says when you have a functional term, you could say that 112.6 doesn't apply if the patentee acts as a lexicographer and expresses a clear intent to define it structurally. Not only do we not have that here, Your Honors, we just don't have the use of the term at all. And in fact, if you look to the prior art, if you look to the prosecution history, if you look at all the extrinsic evidence, including their expert testimony, you will never find the use of the term data gathering and transmission element anywhere. It's like the Diebold case that this court decided last year, where the court said the term check standby unit, it's a term that was coined by the inventor for the purpose of claiming his invention. And that's the situation we have here. It's wheelhouse 112.6 functional claiming that nowhere tells you that it's structural or imparts any structure. There are no other questions, Your Honor?
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
How much do I have left?
4.5 minutes, sir.
Okay. The last argument, portion of the argument made by your friend, data gathering and transmission.
Yes.
I noted that at page 41 and following in the blue brief, you make an argument on data gathering and transmission, but you raise passages from the spec describing the LED, but neither passage mentions either the term data gathering and transmission element, nor does either one discuss the transmission of data. And what you say is, all the whole context.
That's true. I mean, you've got to look at the specification. You've got to look at the claims with the eyes of a skilled artisan. And I don't think the district court has done that. A data gathering and transmission element, first off, it gathers data. What does that mean to a skilled artisan? We're talking about a detector in the context of fiber optic switching devices. And a transmission element, the transmission element transmits the data that's been gathered to the control. And the transmission element is a circuit. It's a simple circuit that after the information that's received by the detector is converted to an electrical signal, from a light signal to an electrical signal, that electrical information is passed down to the controller. And the controller is the microprocessor coupled with circuitry that goes up to the actuators, which is also part of the control that moves the mirrors, or in the case of an LCOS device, applies a charge to the liquid crystal layer, which moves the molecules and causes the reflective properties of the liquid crystal device to divert the beam to the target. And that's what's in the mind of a skilled artisan when a skilled artisan reads this.
Give me the exact page, just one page, where your expert says that.
For data gathering and transmission element?
Just the one page where they say that.
I'd like to have a little extra time to do this, but...
We all would.
I know.
I'd like to have one case all day long, frankly.
Well, I can tell you that starting at page 2159 through 2166. There's discussions regarding the data gathering and transmission element.
You on 56 of the document, 2160, you have to see the discussion, but it doesn't seem to capture what you're saying in your argument.
Well, the 348 patent is discussed in paragraph 148, and I know Judge Hughes is not a big fan of the 348 patent at this point in time.
Well, the law doesn't seem to be a big fan of the 348.
Excuse me?
I said the law doesn't seem to be a big fan of the 348 patent.
I think the Callaway decision is contrary to that, Your Honor. But the data gathering and transmission element is discussed in column 3. The apparatus also includes radiation responsive means, having a radiation guide and detector and a microprocessor that includes both the data gathering and transmission element and the control. In column 4, in one arrangement, the radiation guide is concentric with a part of the signal-carrying fiber. That's part of the data gathering and transmission.
I understand element. You're making an argument, but I asked you, what I asked you for was right where your affiant, your expert, tells me what a person of skill would think, reflecting what your argument was, and you're not giving me that. That would be helpful.
Well, I will stick around and get that for you, but it's in the pages that I gave to you, the 5 or 6 pages. I guess my time is up.
You're actually right. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. Thank both sides in the case of submitted. Final.